Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm Jessie Katz.
I'm Dara Gallup.
And on today's episode, we have the one and only Charlotte Gainsbourg, who we're so excited to have on the show because we are film nerds, first and foremost.
Totally.
If you haven't picked that up yet, you should just know. And she has been in some of the most talked about, provocative, beautiful, some of them, films of the past decade or so.
Challenging works. Challenging emotionally, challenging to watch, but incredible. Antichrist, yeah. Nymphomaniac, Volume 1, Volume 2. Mm-hmm. Science of Sleep. One of our favorites.
Yes. Love Michelle Gondry.
Yeah. And just an overall icon.
Yeah.
In France and here.
Obviously, her father, Serge Gainsbourg, is one of, he's pretty much the most famous French musician of the modern era. Mm-hmm. Her mother is Jane Birkin, who I'm obsessed with in many ways, also as an actress and icon. And her siblings are very talented, and she just comes from one of those royal families that you feel the history when she walks in the room.
Right, and we've seen her walking around the West Village, and it's a giddy feeling.
So yeah, she's a New Yorker
now. It's very cool.
Yeah, she walked into the Soul Sister studio. Mm-hmm. She put out a new album at the end of last year, which she is going to be touring on soon, so we talked to her about all of that. It's the first album she's written herself, mostly. Paul McCartney also wrote a song on
mm-hmm.
it.
Apparently he was in the studio having fun like a little kid on mm-hmm. different instruments.
So yeah, we talked to her about, taking ownership over her art and writing out of her really hard experiences and what that feels like and all the complications that ensue artistically and personally and politically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's it. Here we go. Soul Sisters with Charlotte Gainsbourg. Charlotte, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We are so excited and honored to have you here, just because we're huge fans of everything that you do. And it's exciting to have you here to talk about music, because I think this pushed both of us to explore that side of you that we Absolutely. Didn't know as well as your acting side.
Right.
Yeah. So that was actually a fun act of discovery that we got to go through this week.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, there are just so many ways that we could start talking to you about these things. I guess maybe an obvious way for us is we're just so curious to know the different experience that you've had talking about music that you have written yourself this time, as opposed to albums in the past, and how it feels different to talk about it, how it feels different to perform it, just what that has changed for you to be writing it now.
It is different because it's, of course, it's much more personal, much more intimate and secret than the experiences I've had before. But it's just different in the sense that also before I was just proud to be able to work with Beck, just watching him work, trying to learn, and it was all an experience.
Mm-hmm.
This time it was more like working on myself, with myself, and of course with Sebastian, who I was really longing to try and do something together. I loved his music, so I love the idea of a team and not being just on my own. Mm-hmm. But for the lyrics, now that I have to talk about them, it's really a different. With films, you sort of, you're with a crew already. They're the first audience, and it's already out there, in a sense. With music, you're very much in a sort of privacy world and not sharing at all. Mm-hmm. So when you have to, on at the end of all this, explain and talk, that's the, I find, the difficult part. But it's also a very, something I feel stupid not to have known that this was going to happen. And, you know,
it wasn't in your mind when you were putting this together and say, oh, I'm going to have to address
at all. I felt comfortable with what I had to say. I didn't feel that I was, that it was becoming too personal or that I would be embarrassed. And I'm not embarrassed at all today. It's just that I have to explain difficult things. You know, the loss of my sister. I thought that the words would talk by themselves.
I mean, also, I know musicians often hate to explain their lyrics, understandably.
Of course.
Yeah.
But with this project, it is so sort of understandably taken from your life and your lot of journals, a lot of just openly personal. And so I imagine when people are asking, they're really, what they're asking is, tell me more about that experience.
Right.
You know, not what does this mean, but tell me about that. And that's
And that was new.
That's hard. That's intrusive in a way.
Yeah, but the fact that I was that I wanted to talk about those subjects that were difficult and painful, but at the same time, trying to write about it was the only thing I could write about. Mm-hmm. And it felt, I loved that time, time of on my own with the music, trying to express whatever, you know, whatever I was obsessed with at the time. So it did mean a lot. Meant a lot, and it was a whole process also. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do it as a it wasn't therapeutic.
Yeah.
I didn't try and, you know, talk so that I'd feel better, not at all.
It was just inspiring you?
It was the only, I had already engaged in the process of this new album.
Yeah.
Then my sister died, and so it was already, I was already in that dynamic of trying to write. And it's just that I couldn't write about anything else.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I wanted to think about and talk and
Whereas and when your father passed, you had the kind of opposite reaction.
Completely,
right?
The opposite.
Couldn't
I don't
think
know
about
why
it musically or
I think it's because I was 19 and at the time it was like a national grieving. Everybody,
literally, not even metaphorically. Yeah.
No, everybody had something to express, was feeling very sad about his death, but I was his daughter, and people didn't really, I mean, it was a very weird time. So I had to shut myself off and still be very polite and, you know, understand what people had to say, but I couldn't express anything myself.
Yeah,
that makes sense to me. I actually remember my grandfather died last year. We were very close, and I remember feeling a weird pulling away from other members of my family who are grieving, because I felt like, your grief is not my grief, and I don't want my grief to be tainted by yours, and I just need to, like, hold it all in myself, and I don't want to have to think about yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't feel like sharing that at all.
Exactly, and in a very concrete, I don't know how you say
concrete
like way of dealing with it was that at the cemetery, his tomb was completely public. Each time I went there, people were there. And the only place where I was completely on my own with him or the souvenir of him was his house that I kept completely secret, and I didn't open it, and I didn't move anything. So it was a weird way of dealing with grieving. And
I mean, what is your own way,
right?
It went on for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah. So does this process feel like you've cracked something open, or like purged something, or something new has shifted now?
No, but I think it's fine for me to talk about it. I don't feel violated or
No, I mean it in a good way. Like there's a freedom or like a liberation to...
Yeah, the fact that I have spoken about these things openly, you think?
And written. I mean, this being the first project that you've written mostly all yourself, and it is so personal, it is so kind of, it might not be therapeutic, but it's your life, and it's very vulnerable. And does that now feel like a freeing of for you to now write whatever you want in a way that is, you might be less censoring of?
I don't know. I know that it was it just happened that way. Now, if I want to be very honest with myself, I think the next album will say if I can write lyrics or not, because this was just
such a unique.
Yes, it was very spontaneous, and I didn't, even though for years I felt that I couldn't do, you know, I couldn't choose words, not thinking about my father's words, and so it was quite heavy on my shoulders. It's less heavy on that. That it feels less heavy, but being able to write a new album will be a real challenge, I think.
Because the inspiration has to come from somewhere.
I don't want it to come from a dark place.
Right.
So
it's great for art, but hard for the human.
Yeah, but also I think, I don't know, I have to explore different. I'm not sure what I want to say, and that's why I think I'm limited in the sense that artists always have things to say, and they're, you know, quite, well, I think quite productive. I don't feel an artist in that way. I feel I've said this. Now I'm stepping back.
Come back to yourself.
yeah
Well, what about your choice to start directing your videos? How did that come about, and how was that process for you?
That was so exciting, because it happened at the very end when the record was done. But I was sort of taking my time, not really agreeing to just saying that it was done. And during that time I was able to switch to all the visuals, and I did ask Lars von Trier if he would help me on the first video, and he said no, and he told me to direct myself, and it was my first step. He helped in the sense to, because he gave me tools, and he told me exactly what to do.
A
dogma, a sort of a dogma for my video.
Is there any secret of that you could share?
No, it was just very specific of illustrating each words with footage.
Okay.
Either existing footage or things that I would shoot myself. But it had to be sort of, because the song is so repetitive, it made sense. It was like inventing a new language.
Which song was that for?
Rest.
Okay.
So it was fun. It was fun to go back in my memory and to see what footage I was hoping for. Then the whole thing of asking for rights was I didn't realize.
Because there's a ton of clips in that, right? Like, and you must have just spent so much time. And
also films that have marked me, but so... important films. It wasn't, I mean, I was able to get, which it was the one I was hoping for the most. But
what is that from?
The Kid. What do you mean?
Wait.
The Kid.
The Kid.
Charlie Chaplin.
Okay.
The film. The Kid.
The film. Yeah. The Kid.
So it was a big deal having that image that I really wanted.
Yeah.
But for other stuff, I didn't get it. I had to replace it with other solutions.
Well, I'm sure your budget was only so much.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that was a first step.
Uh-huh.
And it meant that having ideas for other videos, not on the same dogma thing, I just went forward because I was already there. So it was very exciting. I had a story for each video. I was able to ask my son to be in one of them.
Uh-huh.
So he's the very handsome young man I follow around. And my daughters were in another one. It was continuing to be very personal and family oriented.
Right.
Because that's the way, I think that's the way my father introduced me to cinema, music, mm-hmm. everything. We used to, it was very natural to do it inside our family, I mean.
Right.
I continued.
Yeah.
Did when you were coming, when these songs were forming, did any of these images happen then as opposed to creating them later and deciding?
No. Everything later.
Everything later.
I can't do, and that's why the last year of not having released it when it was ready was very helpful, because I could suddenly shift to the visual and only deal with that and have quite a lot of time to, to do six videos. For me, it was a big deal.
Do you like directing?
I love being behind a camera.
Yeah?
I love observing. The thing is, with videos, the economics is so low that you can't take your time.
Right.
So it's all quite a hassle, and you have to run behind time. But still, for instance, just shooting my son was just incredible to have that intimacy of working together.
Yeah. I'm about to shoot my first music video for an artist. Do you have any advice for me? Because I find it a little daunting. Like, I just wonder what the... Have you shot a music video for Jar as a director? Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
Oh, no. And no. I don't feel a professional at all. No, the thing is, I hate... how do you call the... Les synchros, when you have to sing.
Yeah, right.
Oh, like lips, like the...
Yeah.
The lip syncing part.
Yeah. They always want those in,
right?
But,
I'm not gonna have that in this video.
Not okay. Sure.
No, the artist won't be. Yeah, so it'll just be a story to song. Yeah,
but no.
Okay,
I'll
just study your videos then. If you don't want to give me direct advice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We were just having a conversation about something that I would love for you to weigh in on, because I just am so fascinated by this topic and it just feels so relevant right now. And as someone who has acted in other people's films and now you're directing and you've performed music written by other people and you're writing your own stuff now, how correct is it to tell a story about someone who has not lived your experience? Or whose experience you have not lived. Like, if I'm watching Nymphomaniac, I'm like, wow, this is a very raw, real experience of a woman's life. But then I remember who the director is, and then I'm conflicted. But then you're the conduit for the story. So then that brings me back to feeling that it's real. But, and it's so complicated. But as someone who's writing and directing now and thinking about the stories that I want to tell, I'm not always confident whose stories I'm allowed to tell or who I can tell in a true way.
But you're never truthful anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, even singing your own lyrics, you're not, you're behind a mic.
Right.
And there's some kind of a game in any condition you put it. You know, there's, so as truthful as you want to be as an actor, that's the beauty of it, is to be able to lose yourself and then come back to reality and play with that. But I think that the distance is quite nice, in fact.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But like the idea of, you know, could I write a story for a woman of color, for example, when that's not been my lived experience?
Oh, I think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you're authorized to. It's important to feel the freedom of being able to write, even if you don't. I've never felt, how do you say, legitimate?
Mm-hmm.
As a singer, as an actor, I always felt a fraud. So portraying someone who, you know, in difficult conditions and having always been a rich kid,
mm-hmm.
it's, so I felt that I didn't earn what I was getting.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, now I feel confident that I can, even if I don't feel legitimate, I'm happy to still do it.
Right.
Is there something that would shift or could shift that would make you feel legitimate? I mean, you clearly are.
I feel that I don't like being legitimate. I like having the excuse. Maybe it is an excuse and it's just a way of being able to not pass, or it's as if I had never made the choice to be an actress, because it happened very soon and I was young. I never really took the decision, and it gives me the excuse of failing. I don't know.
I understand that. And that's one of the things that's so glorious about the record. The sort of like juxtaposition of the lyrical content, which is so heavy and dark and deep and at times just really tough, but the music is so bouncy and disco and poppy and fun, and it's a really listenable record.
But that's what I was hoping for.
Right, it's almost it almost hides it or buries it. Yeah.
And allows I needed this opposition, because making a record with sad lyrics or hard lyrics with a sad music would have been, for me, terrible.
Right.
So I needed that balance of being completely opposed. And I remember Sebastian had one doubt on the last song called Les Oxalis, because I was talking about a ballad in a cemetery, and it's a lot to do with, I mean, it's quite dark. And as you said, the music is very disco and quite jolly.
Yeah, right.
And he said, are you sure you'll not regret this, of saying these words on this music? And I, that's when I understood what we had done until then. And I hadn't figured it out exactly, but now I knew that was exactly what I wanted, that opposition.
Does he come to you with a track, a beat, or do you, like, will you say, I have these lyrics?
Both.
Okay.
Because I started working without him, with Conan Moccasin, an artist that I really love, and he started doing melodies on a guitar, and I started trying to write lyrics, and then I met Sebastian and really wanted to work with him. And I had a few songs that were already there. I mean, the melodies were there. And then Sebastian composed new things.
Okay.
And I would go back home with his music and try and figure out words.
Yeah. So how is the act of performing for you?
I haven't started yet.
Okay.
I've only had two experiences. Mm-hmm. One with touring with Beck's album and with Beck's musicians,
mm-hmm.
which was my first time. So completely overwhelming and new and traumatizing, but at the same time very exciting.
Yeah.
And Coachella was something that I never imagined.
Yeah.
Just that crowd. Then the second time was with Conan Moccasin. It was much smaller and more intimate. This time I have the impression that I'll finally stop pretending. That it's, you know, I was trying to, I don't know if it was trying to pretend that I was comfortable. I don't think I did pretend I was comfortable, but not being myself, maybe. And this time, I feel that if people come and see me, they know what they're getting. I'm not going to transform myself in a performer. No. Yeah. I'll only do what I can do.
Well, that sounds like a great place to be in, to say, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be me, I'm not going to pretend to be this other more whatever.
Yeah.
It's the only sustainable way to do it, I think.
And your fans will certainly appreciate that.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
I'm happy to be behind a piano a little bit.
Yeah. it's a little bit of a buffer.
Yeah, that'll be easier.
Uh-huh. What is your favorite of all of the things you do, you know, perform in film and theater and write music and perform music, of all of the processes within all of those things, where are you most at ease? Or, like, what's your favorite part? You say, I look forward to, like, having lunch with the crew. Or, like, I love learning my lines, or I love getting my costume, or I love being in front of the camera. Like, what is the most comfortable you feel?
Well, that's a good question, because the most comfortable is not what I prefer. I don't like being comfortable. And sometimes the uneasiness and the very edgy position you're in with a film, for instance, and not knowing if you'll be able to get there, having that challenge is, after all, very exciting. In the process, you're too much in the process. But looking back, it's such exciting times. Music is so different because it's I don't know, it's being with yourself quite a lot, so it's much more solitary and calmer. There's something much calmer. So I think going from take two to take three, or that's
somewhere
exciting.
Where you're already in it, you're on a journey already, and
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. we have to get your take on, because we try to keep up on the show since it's called Soul Sisters, and we talk to women who are in the entertainment industry with what's going on in politics and this these 100 women who are in the news right now. French
women.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's new.
Yeah. Catherine Deneuve and 99 more. Right. And it's just... it's a super complicated issue, as all of this is. I've been watching a lot of commentary that I think is very interesting on all sides of it. And I think it's important for us to...
Should we just say what this is?
Yes.
It's basically, these 100 women wrote an open letter basically saying that the idea that men should be free to, quote, pester women, and that there's sort of a way we're going overboard here with the Me Too and Time's Up and everything like that's sort of approaching it from the other side. So just curious if you are feeling any engagement with this, if you have strong feelings in any way.
I do have strong feelings, but they're not very stable.
Sure.
I don't know for sure where I stand.
Yeah.
And being here and hearing those voices from France, I feel, of course, they're right. It's too exaggerated, too much, but it's that culture. And I come from that place. And suddenly I see the Golden Globes and the...
The Time's Up.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, but that speech, beautiful speech
Oprah.
She had. Yes. But then all those faces in the audience, and it was like a sect of, I don't know, I didn't feel that I was a part of that crowd.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't feel...
It's the exaggeration I don't like. So I, of course, I feel that it's a wonderful thing that women will speak up, out and it demands a lot of courage for some of them, of course. But at the same time, to point your finger on all these men, I don't know. I feel that what I find terrible is this Twitter thing, or or hashtag. That's what I find terrible, is to be able to crush someone out of, you don't know, it's not, you don't know what it's based on. You don't have proof. Uh-huh. You know, it's, you need to.
We're also reactionary. It all just happens fast. Like, you tweet something and then it's out, and then you mean that whole culture of the way things are processed and disseminated. And
I mean, on the one hand, it's an incredible tool for people who would never be heard otherwise to be able to hear their grievances. On the other hand, it sometimes simplifies very complicated matters, or
I think what you said is perfect, is that you have very strong feelings, but for them to be conflicted is a fair thing that is not allowed for within something like Twitter. Like, not coming out straight, clearly confirming, this is how I feel, this is what it is, this is a black and white thing, I think is somewhat lost. The
people
nuance
take
of
positions, right. And it bursts out, and it's out of everyone's hands, and I find it quite scary how you can. Yeah, how you can crush someone. But on the other side, of course, having a woman be crushed, you know, with what has happened to her, of course.
Well, times of change and revolution can feel very extreme, right? And then hopefully they come to some plateau where things level off again. So it will remain to be seen. When does your tour begin?
I'm starting very slowly. Rehearsing into it too. Yeah, and doing first dates in Europe, and then that'll be in March, I think, and then a bit of Japan, and then maybe the rest of the world towards the summer, maybe.
Okay, great.
We hope you get to New York.
I hope so.
I haven't seen those U.S. dates yet.
Yeah,
fingers crossed. Okay, well, the album Rest is out, and
absolutely beautiful,
gorgeous.
Thank you.
And any other projects on the horizon for you this year that you can say?
No, apart from touring and finally feeling quite comfortable with this idea, and it's not like something I don't want to look at. So I'm happy it's finally happening, and then I'll be shooting a film hopefully in September with Yvan Attal, my longtime partner.
As an actress or
as an actress?
Okay.
No, as him as a director and an actor, and me only as an actress.
Okay, Charlotte, thank you so much
for
being on the
show. Thanks a lot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.